Can we get some quiet, y'all?
Actually, can I sit on your side?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's dope. I like this side better.
All right, that's what's...
Because I can lean like
this. All right, the real hip-hop is over here. I thought it was over here. That's over here.
I like this. I'm going to lean better over.
All right, y'all throw me on my game for a minute, okay? All right. And...
You're back.
What's going on, bro?
It is going on.
It is going on. The real hip-hop is over
stop.
Here, right?
It doesn't stop.
It does not stop. All right. Sitting here with KRS-One.
Yes, sir.
The one and the only.
Yes, sir.
You're here in Chicago. You've been here many, many times. You have a beautiful relationship with the city. Talk about it just real quick.
Well, first of all, this is where I started. You know, there were like...
Whoa, this is where you started?
This is where we started.
Come on, man. Elaborate.
When you're in New York, 80s, early 80s, hip-hop used to only be, rap used to only be in New York.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, I know that.
And in order to get national, there were certain towns you had to go to.
Sure.
Even if you was out of New York, you had to go to a certain cities in order to become national.
Certainly.
Chicago was city number one.
You over Philly?
Over Philly. Philly was New York.
It was y'all backyard.
Right, Philly was in Connecticut.
Ahead. Go ahead.
You know what I'm saying? So you didn't make it nowhere when you went to Philly or whatever. But Chicago, Miami, and LA. Not even Atlanta yet.
Yet.
It was Chicago because of the house scene.
Sure.
Now, people don't realize how big house was nationwide and how Chicago was at the top of that. So all the producers, everybody was coming out of Chicago. It was here that people, you can even take this back to like soul music and some of the stuff like Booker TMG's, take it all the way back. Sure, it was Memphis and all that type of stuff.
Sure, sure.
But the musicianship of Chicago, somebody should do a documentary on it. It's incredible.
Somebody should do a documentary on
it.
You heard it.
It's totally incredible. When hip-hop was coming up, this was one of the places you had to come.
Okay.
And you had to come here, you had to, it was a whole bunch of people running around. See, this was also when Cabrini Green was live.
Yeah, you already know that. Come on, give me that on that.
And you had
know.
To come through there, you know what I'm saying? You had to hang out. And that's how you got your respect, too, because you got there. See, now you just jump on the radio and that's the end of it. You know what I'm saying? But back in the day, you came to Chicago. Dudes didn't see you like at the local Jamaican spot, getting your fish and rice. If dudes didn't see you at the record store and that, they wasn't coming to your shows.
Agreed.
They didn't care less. You know, or dudes would wait. The radio play, you know, your record all day, so they'll wait for the big Coliseum show. You know.
Now, you know I got a question for you.
Come on.
You're talking about the hip-hop and you're talking about the house, but there was a point in time when there was a little bit of subcultural warfare going on between the genres.
No doubt.
You had the little thing with Kool Rock Steady, et cetera. So I don't want to sanitize that history like it was all good. It wasn't all good.
What was it?
I was a hip-hop dude here in Chicago, and it was weird
at
the time.
That's
so
right.
Please elaborate on that in context of what you're telling me.
You know what? It wasn't really rivalry. It was respect. It was that each city did not allow someone from the outside to dictate to them who they were. And it was a time, Chicago was one of the first places they wanted to be Chicago. Let me take you back.
Okay, take me back.
1983, Run DMC comes out with Sucker MCs, okay? 1984, LL Cool J comes out with I Need a Beat. Now, when these two groups came out, everyone in the United States, if you was down with hip hop, you dressed like Run DMC or LL Cool J. You had the rope around the neck, gold chain, you had the Kango hat, you was doing it like that.
Real talk.
Now, places like Chicago, and specifically LA, had their own culture.
This is very true.
You guys have your own culture.
A lot of it was soul culture, post-slavery, migration culture, and of course, gang culture.
And of course, that big. People don't even know about gang culture in Chicago, how big it was. Even probably bigger than LA.
LA knows, though. a lot of their culture is some
of our
culture.
That's right, you already know. So this is the rivalry. I wouldn't call it a rivalry. Yes, it did turn out like that. Yes, there was some of that. Of course it was. But the way it really... In the long run, when you look back on it, it was like you had to prove yourself in order to come to a town. And I kind of appreciated that in a way, where a town just didn't allow you to come into town just because you was playing on the radio. You had to prove something to the people. You had to say something, be part of the community in order to come in. And this is what we was dealing with back then. So when we first was coming through, you know, New York, of course, arrogant New York, you know.
Glad you said it.
Oh, the arrogant.
Glad you said it.
It's just, okay, let's just admit the sin. And it was that that caused also some of the East Coast, West Coast, and some of the, sure. the problems with West Coast. Because New York would say, oh, hip-hop is only in New York. It's only coming out of New York. This, that, and the other. And all of a sudden, dudes was like, no, it could come out of Chicago. We got our sound. It could come out of West Coast. We got our sound. Eventually, it was South. We got our sound. And people like me was, like, enjoying that because I came out of the battle era. Like, it's like, it's common knowledge. You the best, I'm the best. Let's battle as friends and see what it really is. Even if I lose, I'm still the best. I'm battling. So at the end of the day, I think that's what Chicago was really on. It was like, and everywhere, even the West Coast. I mean, we summoned up the Tupac and Biggie, but there was a lot of other, like Tim Dog with F. Compton and, you know, little.
Rest in peace, Tim Dog.
Rest in peace. He just passed the other day.
He just did.
You know, little things like that going back and forth, but it's healthy. I say it's healthy. And absolutely, I big up Chi-Town all day because I have a 2004 concert I did here. I got it on tape, a video, where it's Kool G Rap, myself.
I was there, at the Metro.
At the Metro, there. Tony yeah. Touch. That was so savage.
Yeah.
It was just that type of hip hop you just don't get. It's not me saying it because I'm here in Chicago. You guys got internet now. You guys can travel, see, look around. You go to other towns, they don't give it to you. There's no, you know, it's just like they just sit there. It's like internet. It's just like the way you look at the internet is the way you look at the artist. You're just looking at them like this. You say, that was cool. You know, nobody's giving nothing up. No sweat. No, yeah. Chi-Town maintains that. And that's why also just on another level, not dissing nobody.
Wait for it.
But I hope people don't believe that what is mainstream today, like mainstream rap today, is what represents Chi-Town.
Come on, man. You know what? On that note,
I hope people do not think that, and I love the artists, any artist coming out of Chi-Town that's getting success. We can't argue with that. They're successful for a reason. But I deal with artists on the street level of Chi-Town, and I've been doing that for 20 years. These dudes never get heard. Never get heard. And that's why I said what I said about GCI. They betrayed the entire Chicago community. Total betrayal of the community. Total betrayal of the community. And I told the FCC commissioner this to his face. And then next week he left his job and didn't do nothing at the end of the day. But this is the point, is that Chicago got MCs out here that are so ferocious. And I just get to hear them when I'm like, you know, at the local store, they say, yo, spit a rhyme. We in the corner getting it in. And I get to hear some of the greatest stuff. That's how I stay on top. I stay sharp because I'm listening to dudes sharper than me.
Is Steady Sir still in the room? Okay. I could talk to you all day, but I can't in this context.
Talk to you all Yo, day.
On behalf of the Shrine,
no doubt.
First of all, talk about your experience in this particular venue.
This is the greatest venue I've performed at. No BS.
Talk about it.
I walked in here at soundcheck. My man turned the sound on. It was perfect. And I told my whole crew, listen to the sound. Because when we go other places, they think we arrogant
on another level.
Sure.
I say, yo, I want it to sound like this, this, and this. Oh, you just, you know, you don't really know what you want. This is what I'm giving you.
Sure.
You know, and I'd be like, nah, there's a way the bass supposed to sound. I'm supposed to hear my voice. I'm supposed to hear the highs. Well, all right, Method Man did it last week. He was happy with it. You know, this guy came last week. He was happy with it. So I'm like, damn, I walk in here, I was amazed. I was totally amazed. I'll probably never perform nowhere else in Chicago. I swear, I'm telling you, I probably will be nowhere else. I'm probably going to come back.
You heard it here first.
No BS. I'm probably going to come back here with a bigger show.
Yeah. Please do.
Just, you know.
Please do.
Like when I
Please
come do. Back, just come back with a, just a bigger show.
Live.
And kind of get that live band going. So I may bring the Roots. You get like KRS the Roots here real quick.
Yeah.
You know, just an exclusive show.
Hey, that's it right there. On behalf of the entire Shrine staff, everybody, the bartenders, the security, and of course the owner. Yo, man, my dude, thank you. Please
thank
come
you.
Again.
Oh, I will.
Yeah.
It might be the only place I'm coming to.
All right, real
no
talk.
Doubt. doubt. That sound was so sick.